every day, something dramatic happens in the Caribbean that affects our lives. We'll give you the details. We'll give you the facts on Caribbean Perspective with Eddie Fedrick. Here's Eddie Fedrick.
This is Caribbean Perspective for Monday, 25th February, 2013. So glad you can join us. The big story we are covering today. Tobago's chief secretary wants Trinidad and Tobago government to remove the fuel subsidy on Caribbean Airlines. This story and more when we return. Welcome back. The Tobago House of Assembly Chief Secretary Orville London has told the Finance Minister Larry Hawaii that government subsidies to Caribbean Airlines is helping to destroy the economy of Tobago and has asked him to revisit it as quickly as possible. More in the CNC3 report.
The first meeting since the fiery election campaign that went the PNM's way 12 seats to nil. And as THA Chief Secretary of London sat down with Prime Minister Kamla Prasad Bisesa and other cabinet ministers, saving the Tobago economy, he said, would require major changes to Caribbean Airlines' subsidies.
We're using taxpayers' money to place Caribbean Airlines in a position where it can bring down the prices, deter airlines, and of course the tourism sector in Tobago is suffering.
Mr. London says he proposed that the process to give the island more autonomy should be done with collaboration between a team from the THA and a team from the government.
And that team would meet as often as necessary or for as long as necessary to come up with a common position on this whole issue of internal government.
If that process starts soon, he says, with a deadline of 6 months, then the issue of two independent councillors would not be immediately necessary. He says he has proposed that both sides speak more cordially to each other by opening up more direct lines of communication.
We should have another meeting involving the relevant ministers and, of course, the secretaries of the THA and the stakeholders with respect to the economy.
He says he has instructed his secretaries to write to all their line ministers to ensure that they speak more frequently to each other and that he and the Prime Minister have reached an agreement on a key issue.
The quarterly non-crisis meetings, I think that is all. Because I think it's to everybody's benefit rather than having a situation where everybody asks him when we want to meet again.
Mr. London says he was not just heartened by the conversation they had, but also by the posture of the government towards the THA as they spoke.
Some major changes may be coming to the law books soon, as the heads of the police and military have asked the Prime Minister to make possession of drugs and firearms non-bailable offences. Samson Nanton of CNC3 has more.
The heads of the police, military and other arms of national security summoned to a meeting with the Prime Minister Kamla Prasad Bisesa and key government personnel this afternoon in response to a spike in murders. It would last for about an hour, following which the Prime Minister announced that they had reached agreement on specific areas, one being increased patrols with immediate effect by police and military personnel, CNC3 Television, the only station present.
And so what we've asked and agreed upon is for there to be increased visibility of joint patrols throughout Trinidad and Tobago, that is to say army personnel jointly with police officers, increase mobile patrols and foot patrols, air patrol, roadblocks.
But there is another big measure coming out of the meeting, the police and military personnel proposing that the government introduce legislation that could stop anyone who commits drug and firearms offences from coming back onto the streets until the trial is over and unless the court finds them innocent, a proposal to remove bail.
The proposal is that we make both those offences non-bailable offences. And the further proposal is that we consider changing discretionary sentencing to mandatory sentencing for possession of drugs in quantities and possession of firearms.
The Prime Minister had spent the last few days in Haiti at a CARICOM meeting, which focused heavily on reducing crime in the region, to return to the news of multiple murders over the last few days.
So many murders. I do not think we can continue to do business as usual.
With over 17 people murdered in a period of just 7 days, a meeting like this is not unexpected. The Prime Minister having said when she returned from Haiti last evening that one measure is bringing some of the military personnel onto the streets to help combat crime. The real question is, however, whether meetings like these, of which there have been so many, can now redound into action on the streets. But the Prime Minister says proposals can be quickly implemented this time around.
That could be done in a relatively short space of time. We will give serious consideration to the legislative proposals, and I'm advised by the team that they will be out, as of today, already out, but increased before the day is done for the patrols throughout the nation's streets.
If in fact the bail legislation is to be passed in the Parliament, it would require a 3/5 majority of the House.
You're listening to Caribbean Perspective with Eddie Frederick.
The governing Democratic Labour Party of Barbados has retained power in a tightly fought election. The DLP, led by Prime Minister Frondel Stewart, won 16 parliamentary seats in the 30-member House of Assembly. Its victory came as a surprise, as polls had predicted a win for the opposition Barbados Labour Party. It took the remaining 14 seats. Mr. Stewart's victory will give him his first full term in office. He took over as Prime Minister after the death of Prime Minister David Thompson in 2010. Here's what Prime Minister Stewart had to say on the night of victory.
Comrades and friends, a general election was held in Barbados yesterday, February the 21st. And by your votes, by your confidence, the Democratic Labour Party was returned to office for another 5-year term. I want to begin by saying thanks to all of you for the support and for the confidence which were so obvious to me and to the candidates of the Democratic Labour Party during the recently concluded general election campaign. We are not here tonight celebrating this victory because of any sponsorship or any support which we got from the Sears of Barbados, the Sosers of Barbados, the fortune tellers of Barbados.
Moving our attention now to St. Lucia, where teachers from all over the island met on Thursday last at the National Cultural Center to discuss the next course of action after the government rejected their 9.5% offer of a salary increase. Sarah Peter of HTS News Force reports.
The government negotiating team is resolute on its offer of a 4% pay hike, while the TUF has lowered its wage proposal from an initial 15% to 9.5%. President of the St. Lucia Teachers Union, Julian Monrose, says teachers are disheartened by what he believes is government's uncompromising stance. He implies demoralized teachers have taken ill.
The members are expressing that they are very sick in terms of this meeting. There has gotten them extremely sick. Yeah, extremely sick. I wouldn't be surprised that a few of them have to go to the doctor. If they are sick, that they must do the most, they must do the correct thing and stay home, try to get as much rest as possible and take care of themselves. Those who think that it is serious enough may need to go to the doctor. We advise them that if they're not well, to do those things. Teaching is a very stressful thing. And if you're not well, you should not go and put yourself before a class.
Monroe says despite making concessions, the government negotiators refuse to compromise with the union. He says teachers were willing to go as low as 6% if certain conditions, including the reclassification of public servants and the reinstatement of increments, are met.
These are the kind of things that we put on the table for the government, hoping that the government will say yes. And guess what? We told the government we're giving them a year, you know, a year to work on this with us. We said to them further that if they can agree, and the problem is a back pay, we are prepared to stagger the back pay. We will take a certain percentage now, and we will give them another 6 months or so to pay the rest. All of that is in trying to reach the government, and the position was flatly rejected.
Monroe's contends the request is justified given the implementation of the value-added tax, the high cost of living, and the 66.15% hike in water rates proposed by the National Water and Sewage Commission.
But I can imagine how furious people will become when you're telling me 4%, but you're going to put a 60% or so increase on water. It means that for the person, and I'm sure most teachers, pay more than $100 worth of water a month. It means, therefore, that the person who pays $100, a bill of $100, will now have to find $160, but you are offering them 4% on the salary increase.
The union, however, says they are still open to negotiations with the government. The St. Lucia Teachers Union will meet with the other associations within the Trade Union Federation to discuss the next step forward. Sarah Peter.
Gladly, we turn our attention now to Grenada. For the third time running, Grenada's newly elected Prime Minister has maintained consistency regarding his admonition to supporters that not all of the 15 elected members of Parliament would be given cabinet appointments. He did so at the victory rally in Tartine, St. George's on the night of the election, at his inaugural speech on the occasion of his swearing-in, and on Friday night at the National Stadium during his party's victory rally.
Your constitution specifies that there must be institutions which help to protect and guide our democracy. And it also specifies that even when there isn't an opposition in the House of Parliament, that there are, in fact, opportunities to protect the governance structure of our country. One such important institution is the Public Accounts Committee that provides checks and balances as far as the government actions are concerned, because we are all human beings subject to mistakes and errors. Therefore, it means not all the people you elected can be ministers in government. Do you hear me? I repeat, not all the representatives sitting here today can be ministers of government. If we do this, it means that we cannot have a public accounts committee.
Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez is still suffering breathing problems following his return from Cuba, where he was treated for cancer, officials say. Information Minister Ernesto Villegas said Mr. Chavez was continuing to receive treatment at a military hospital in Caracas. It was the first official communique on the president's health since he returned to Venezuela on Monday last.
The breathing insufficiency that emerged post-operation persists, and the tendency has not been favorable, so it's still being treated. On the other hand, the medical treatment for the base illness continues without significant adverse effects for now. The patient remains in communication with his relatives and the government political group, and in close collaboration with the medical team. The president holds firm to Christ, with absolute will to live and maximum discipline in the treatment of his health.
Mr. Chavez went to Havana for surgery on 11th December 2012. It was his fourth operation in an 18-month period for cancer, which was first diagnosed in mid-2011. He is said to have suffered a severe respiratory infection following the latest surgery. President Chavez, in office for 14 years, was re-elected for another six-year term on October 2012, but his swearing-in was delayed because of his illness. Doubts remain about whether his health will allow him to return to active politics.
I am Eddie Frederick. This has been Caribbean Perspective, a whole new approach to highlighting developments in the Caribbean. In the meantime, please continue to log on to CaribbeanPerspectiveNew.com for more daily news and more.